May the words of my mouth and meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable before you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Heard from Elias in February this year. The all bar two, I think it was, of the Diocese Council, and about 13 or 14 representatives from various parishes across the diocese assembled at Seven Hill to have a retreat to try and figure out a vision for the diocese. And if you haven't seen the working from that, it actually has been sent out to all of the parish secretaries and all the clergy. If you haven't seen it yet, then I encourage you to make contact with either your clergy or your parish secretaries to make sure that you can have a copy of about 11 or 12 pages of quite important reflections that we did on that day. But one of the most extraordinary things that happened, and there were a couple of extraordinary things that happened in that time, was that we came up with a vision and a set of values that all 26 or 27 of us who were there at the time signed up for. It was a wonderful moment of unity for the diocese and to give a sense of vision and purpose for us as we move forward into the future. And I raise this because in those two foci, in the vision and the values that were agreed to at Seven Hill, they are predicated on what we understood the mission and ministry of Jesus to be about from our deliberations and discussions at that retreat. That is, to make disciples of all and to nurture them, which is actually quite important. We actually nurture the new disciples especially. To love as Jesus loves. And then we also came up with a whole range of values that we would like to have at the heart of who we are as the Diocese of Murray. They include to be kind and to be empathetic, to be generous and inclusive. And we also threw in those little pesky fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, long forbearance, all that sort of stuff. And today, what we do, and so that's how what we came up with at the retreat. And as some of you are already aware, I've been going around and talking about that vision and those values, and I'm slated to go and visit even more parishes in the weeks and months ahead as we try and help the whole of the diocese wrestle with how we might actually do that in our local communities of faith. Because it's all very well for the diocese, for a retreat group, for retreat participants to come up with it, but it's another thing entirely for us as the people of God to embrace it and to implement it in our communities of faith. And today we come to do two very important things in the life of our diocese and in the life of the church, for that matter. And if we get it only partly right, we'll go a long way to achieving both the vision and the values that we came up with at Seven Hill. We, the clergy, come to renew our ordination vows before God and one another, to reaffirm before you, the people of God, and before ourselves as the clergy of this diocese, that we will minister faithfully to the mission and ministry that God has placed in our charge and care. But we also come to bless the oils that will be used to minister the grace of God in the lives of our faith communities. And it's so wonderful to see so many people from across the diocese here today at this event, because you are the ones who will be the recipients of that grace and mercy through the ministry of the oils. The grace of God which we'll administer to our faith communities is predicated on the good news of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and is further predicated on his mission and ministry. For it is only in that mission and ministry that we are called to participate in, both as priests and deacons, and as the lay people of God. Every aspect of mission and ministry that we purport to do, either as clergy or as lay people, must be in alignment with the mission and ministry of Jesus, or else it will fail. So what on earth is this mission and ministry? In all of the Gospels, it seems clear that Jesus is bringing about the kingdom of God. In the first chapter of Mark, we have Jesus coming onto the scene and declaring, repent, or change direction, or you're going in not quite the right way. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So start being ready to make a course correction. In Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount gives very clear guidance about what the kingdom of God is all about. The Beatitudes are kingdom values. And in Luke, Jesus is very explicit in his mission and ministry. It is about inviting everyone into the kingdom and inviting them to belong to God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has sent me to give good news to the poor. We need to remember that everyone who was a Jew was a part of God's kingdom, even if they didn't feel like it at the time. I think here, for example, of the woman who was healed in the synagogue on the Sabbath, who was made to feel so terrible by the religious zealots because Jesus had actually dared to make her right before God on the Sabbath day. They all believed in God, which is totally different to today's world. In Jesus' day, it was the poor who were the most marginalised. They were the ones who were most likely not to be engaged in the cultic practices of Israel and therefore not feel part of being the people of God. Today, the poor are simply the most marginalised, whether they believe in God or not, and most of them don't. Today, from our recent census, more than 50% of the population has been marginalised from our church, usually because we have laid heavy burdens on them that we ourselves are not willing to carry, or by our inconsistent and hypocritical behaviour as a church. Recovery of sight and release are actually related. Those who were blind were in a form of prison that they could not get out of, as they did not have modern aids that we have today. What Jesus seems to be speaking about is liberating every person and to enable every person to come into the kingdom to encounter God and therefore encounter fullness of life. He is, of course, not quoting fully from the passage that was read so beautifully for us at the beginning of the readings. But the original hearers would have been very familiar with the passage and would still have known all about what was missing from his quote. Comfort all who mourn. A mantle of praise instead of a faint or weakened spirit. You shall be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. That is to everyone, not just the people of the priestly line of Aaron or even our clergy today. I like the last bit of all. All who see them, that is the descendants, shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. What a great word of hope and encouragement to a people at the time of Isaiah, and also to the people of Jesus' day, and yes, even to us today, who are feeling under pressure and wondering where on earth is God. However, that is still not the best part of the mission and ministry of Jesus. He finishes with the line, and to declare the year of the Lord's favour. This is a reference to the year of Jubilee, when all property and all that was sold is returned to the original owner. Slaves were released. It was like pressing a giant reset button on the nation. The slate is wiped clean. Everyone is given a new start. How much does our society need to hear these words of comfort and encouragement today? How many people in our church need to hear the words of encouragement that everybody in Christ Jesus has the opportunity of a new start, a reset button, if you like, on their lives? So many people are living quiet lives of desperation, even if we seem that we're successful. Even those who seem to have it all are sometimes imprisoned by their own lifestyle, and they are blind to the needs of those around them, and maybe even their own needs. Almost certainly their own needs from God. And many are oppressed, not in the ways that we would determine oppression, for there are many ways in which one can be oppressed these days. There are certainly the poor, but there are, as Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount, poor in the spirit, not just in material possessions. All these people within our church and outside our church need to hear this good news message of Jesus, that he has come to invite each and every one of us into the kingdom, to enable them to encounter God and to be accepted, and that they will be accepted by God. But there is just one problem, it seems, the church. The model that Jesus demonstrates is in contrast to our model of church. Jesus invites people to belong. I think of the encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus, the parable of the wedding feast. But probably the best example of all is Jesus' invitation to the disciples to come and follow him. Jesus invites Peter and the others to come and to be with him, to follow him, to belong. They do not yet believe, neither do they know how to behave. That all occurs as they continue to belong to Jesus. And by the way, if you read through even the Acts of the Apostles after Jesus returns to the Father, you see that people, especially like Peter, still don't always get it. All that occurs to them as they continue to belong to Jesus. They listen to him. They get some things right, and they get an awful lot wrong. And even when he returns to the Father, they are still in the process of believing and behaving. I remember thinking of Peter, remember in Joppa, sitting on the house rooftop in a sleep, in a dream, and a carpet drops down from heaven with all sorts of food. He says, "No, I've never eaten anything that is defiled." And you can now go into the house of Gentiles as well. Contrast that with the church today, where we often insist that people believe and behave in a certain way before we will let them belong. We need to be more like Jesus and invite people to belong. And in the belonging, they will come to believe, and then they will behave as Jesus wants them. Now, I'm not advocating for a free-for-all and throwing out the creeds or the scriptures or anything else like that. Neither am I saying that anything goes. But I do recognize that this will require a bit of messiness in our churches. And some of us don't cope well with messiness. We like it to be neat and tidy. However, that is not how Jesus seems to operate. And in any case, life is not always neat and tidy. It is messy by nature, and we are deluding ourselves if we are striving for just neat and tidy. Do you remember the parable of the wedding feast? The king sends out the servants into the highways and the byways and compels people to come in, not just invites them, but compels them. And then the king sees someone without a wedding garment on. When questioned, the person refuses to answer. And because they are not clothed rightly, even though they've been invited, possibly even compelled to come in, they are expelled. However, it is the king, God, who expels, not us. However, the warning is still there for us. We must conform to God's standards, not our own. What we are called to do, however, is to invite people. Diligently search for people and invite them to belong, to reach out to everyone. We need to identify the needs of people. For many, it will simply be to have somewhere to belong, to be accepted for who they are. Single parents, young people, old people, those who are struggling with their sexuality, those who are in abusive relationships, those who are in unsatisfactory relationships. All of which can sometimes seem to be like oppression or imprisonment for some of them. Those whose marriages are broken down and are feeling like a failure. Those who are unemployed and seeking new means of being relevant and useful. Those who have various needs, new parents, those recently retired and struggling with what to do with themselves next. We don't have to reach out to all these people, and neither are we called to fix everyone's problems. Jesus did not heal every leper. He did not raise every dead person. He simply met the needs of those who were in front of him and was alert to the needs of those around him, so he could see more easily when they were actually in front of him. So it must be for us. But often such people are right under our noses, but we're not looking for them, or we're not deliberately seeking them, and so we do not see them or recognize them, and we simply pass them by in our churches and even on the street. So we need to be aware of the needs of our communities so that we can see the needs rather than simply being blind ourselves. And when we've invited people to belong, then we can start the process to teach God's word faithfully so that those who come, who accept the invitation, can believe. And in believing will come to behave in a manner that is pleasing to God. That is what happened to Zacchaeus. He was invited to belong. His encounter with Jesus led him to faith and belief, and he behaved in accordance with that belonging and belief. But can I just please add a note of caution? Those who come to faith in our communities may not be transformed as rapidly as Zacchaeus was. So I just want to put that out there before I do. So if we're going to renew our vows as ministers of God's word and sacraments, and if we are going to be the people of God, and if we're going to take these oils back to our parishes and administer them to the people we encounter, then I believe it is incumbent on us to do as Jesus would. Not only do the clergy need to commit ourselves, but all the people of God need to commit ourselves in a renewing of our vows, a renewal of our commitment to preach the good news to the poor, release to the captives, oppressed to the captives and oppressed, recovery of sight to the blind, comforting those who mourn. Be, as Isaiah said, plantings of the Lord, and our parishes like oaks of righteousness, displaying the glory of the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful if our parishes were like oaks of righteousness? We need to love justice, to hate robbery and wrong, but above all to declare the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favour, the opportunity for every single person to have a new start with God, or even a first start with God. We can only do that, however, by being a church in a new way, by inviting people to belong to God, to come and encounter God, to come and see Jesus. When we have people belonging, then we can help them to believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God, who has come to us in human form, who dies on a cross, rose from the dead after 3 days, and after 40 days ascended into heaven. And as our Revelation passage reminds us today, he is coming again to judge the living and the dead. And in coming to believe that, those who belong and those who believe will come to behave as the Lord requires, not as we require. We need to care more deeply for those in our parishes. There will be people in our parishes already who are struggling with their sexuality, struggling with their relationships, struggling with relevance, feeling trapped and not knowing where to go and what to do. People who have felt marginalised in their own faith communities. We need to be alert to those realities and be ready and equipped and compassionate and empathetic to meet those needs and to help them heal. When we start to do this, then I suspect that our parishes will be strengthened and our church will no longer become a point of derision and disrespect. Then people will see that we are faithful to the vision and the values of our diocese, which we are trying to ascribe to, which is based on the mission and ministry of Jesus, to love as Jesus loves. And we will indeed be making disciples, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is, who God is. We will be allowing the kingdom values of love, kindness, empathy, inclusion to reign in our parishes and our diocese, and we will therefore be uniting our efforts with God's mission and ministry and not our own. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.